Thank you, everyone, for coming. So, in the seminar today, we are going to discuss the main features of the waves that develop when turbulent boundary layer impinges on a solid body. This work has been done under the supervision of Bala in collaboration with Constantino Mayer, and it's based on the follow up of the first investigation of this topic done by Sonia Vadei during a PhD here in Toronto. While we care about the interaction of the porous body with an impinging flow, this is the idealization of a lot of interaction occurring in natural and industrial environments. For example, when a boundary layer interacts with an array of wind turbines or with a group of trees, or when the boundary layer that develops on a high of a ship interacts with patches of barnacles. What has been done so far to understand this kind of interaction? This interaction has been taken so far in an extremely simplified way. This means that in general, the array of obstacles is idealized as a group of obstacles, and the flow that is impinging on the body is a uniform flow. The height of this flow impinging on the body is the same as the height of the flow. This means that so far this interaction has been treated as 2D. I want to summarize the main results of these 2D counterparts of the interaction. What is clear is that, first of all, they investigate the role of the solidity, level of the interaction. Okay. What happens is that at decreasing solidity, that's from the DNS, the way there is a delay in the recovery of the wake, and when the solidity level is really low, the von Karman streak in the wake is completely is not present simply. That's the experimental counterpart of this investigation. That's the dye that spread that is released around the body. You can clearly see that for a solid body, there is an intense von Karman streak, reducing the solidity. There is a damping of the von Karman streak, and more importantly, there is a delay in the onset of the recovery. This is going to be important in the rest of our investigation. So, I told you that the two-dimensional counterpart is the restriction specification. In fact, this problem, there are several parameters that play a role in the interaction, not only the level of solidity, but also the height of the kind of flow that impinges on the body, if flow is physical or not, and the difference in height between the impinging flow and the body. What we are going to do is to try to meet real conditions using an impinging flow and a uniform flow, namely a boundary layer, and we are going to change the vertical aspect ratio, namely the ratio between the height of the body and the height of the impinging flow. What's the goal of this investigation is to parameterize with physical length and velocity scale the wave that develops on the back of the body. I just wanna, the first part of this interaction has been that has been done here at the University of Southampton in the wind tunnel is an assessment of the role of the level of density and the vertical aspect ratio on the drag experienced by the body. The body is again idealized as a number of cylinders covering the circular surface, as we increase the number of cylinders on the circular surface, we increase the level of fluidity. What happens? Let's focus on a single aspect ratio. At increasing fluidity, the drag experienced by a porous body is almost always higher than the drag that develops at the interaction of a solid body with the same changing flow. If we now repeat increasing the vertical aspect ratio, this experiment, we realize that the ice increase the level of drag experienced by the body, but that the trend with solidity is exactly the same. This can be highlighted, normalizing the drag coefficient. So, what can we do now is to fix an aspect ratio and focus on the weight. How can we do that? Performing a phase investigation. Fixing the height of the changing flow means basically fix the increasing velocity and then the height of the increasing boundary layer. That's the quantitative mean boundary layer profile in common and increasing on the body and indeed around this porous body and around the solid counterpart to phase investigation in the weight. The first investigation is on a plane in all normal direction. The second investigation is on a plane parallel to the bottom of the wind tunnel at the cosmic plate. Okay. So the final is articulated is based on the analysis of the flow field that we graph from the phase investigation, and we will discuss basically the weight topology and the way the question is the velocity deficit recovered. So how can we discuss about the weight topology? First of all, we need to identify the weight. In general, the identification of the weight is done simply extracting the deficit that the presence of the body induces in the incoming flow. This has been done simply subtracting off the flow around the body to the flow in our domain when the body is present. Now, the deficit, the weight, is the region included by the edge, by an edge, where the deficit is equal to 0.2. If we quantify this deficit using the KV experiment on the horizontal and vertical plane, and we combine the information, we can have a first impression on the role that the level of solidity plays in setting the dimension of the weight. For really low solidity, in fact, what can we see is that there is no group interaction. The weight in the back of the body is just the weight of the cylinders that forms the body. This is not a group interaction. This is not a porous body. At increasing solidity, we see that at the back of the body, we have a single entity that is the weight. Why is that? Because the individual weights of the cylinder across the body are merged before or immediately after the body. The second information we can grasp from the collection of plots is that the weight in the back of the porous body is the size is really different from the size of the weight of the solid body. In particular, it's larger, so the solidity and the reduced solidity really affect the length of the weight. So we quantify this effect. Yes, we can do that, of course. We can define the length of the weight and the height of the weight. The length of the weight on the horizontal plane is the maximum streamwise location reached by the size of the wave in vertical direction is the maximum wave normal location, which is the edge of the wave. If we do so and we plot this trend against the salinity, we realize that, again, there is a huge difference between the horizontal dimension of the wave. If the path is not solid, the wave's length is locked between 5 and 7 body diameter, while the wave of a solid body is just 2 diameters, developed for 2 diameters in the back of the solid body. If we consider the height of the wave, we realize that for a conic body, the wave is similar, height of the wave is similar to the height of the wave that develops at the back of the solid body. And then it's mainly set by the height of the body itself. There is a variation of maximum the 30%. Can we explain this feature of there is a mechanism that can explain this feature, this huge difference in the dimension between the weight of a solid body and the weight of a solid body? Let's think what happens when the incoming flow is the forward step. When the incoming flow is the forward step, we are lifting up our body from the top. Due to the reduced level of salinity, the flow can actually bleed through the body. So, at the back of the body, we have a trailing edge bleeding. We can quantify this trailing edge bleeding, integrating the velocity at the back of the body along the height of the body, and move this information to the level of solidity. As expected, increasing the solidity, the intensity of the bleeding goes down. Again, when the flow bleeds through the pipe, interacting with the cylinder present in the pipe, and it's diluting in vertical direction. The more we can, again, quantify this effect, and at increasing solidity, we realize that the intensity of the vertical bleeding increases. How this effect affects the length of the wave? Basically, these two effects prevent wave increment, prevent the recovery of the wave. How? The vertical bleeding pushes away the free flow on the top of the test, while the vertical bleeding, the cross dot between the vertical bleeding and the lateral bleeding, pushing away the free flow also from the side, away from the side of the body, set and lock in this region the length of the wave. The bleeding, the flow bleeding through the patch is actually a property of the reduced porosity. We don't have such kind of effect when the body is solid. We can have a closer look to the behavior of the deficit in the back of the patch, extracting the streamwise behavior of the deficit for several given eyes in the back of the patch. We can do the same application solidity and compare with the behavior of the solid body. First of all, what we realize is that at increasing solidity level, the deficit in the back of the body increases. The second information that we can get is that if we compare the occurrence, the behavior of the velocity deficit in the back of the patch of one of the forward steps with the behavior in the back of the solid patch, we realize that the velocity deficit in the back of the patch starts almost immediately to be recovered, while in the case of the forward body, this is not exactly what happens. We have a first region of deceleration of the flow where effectively the maximum of the deficit is reached, and then the recovery occurs in the rest of the way. There is a length scale that marks that quantifies this delay. It's called L1, which is called L1 for the rest of the terminal. L1 marks then the location at which the deficit in the back of the body is maximum and then it is. If we recall the text L1 for every solidity and in the back of the text, we realize that L1 enclosed envelope region. The dimension of this region is linked again to the solidity level, F including solidity, top, bottom. This region is decreased, smaller. This is the same trend of the bleeding velocity. Is that effect again directly linked to the velocity bleeding to the test? I can say that in the two-dimensional condition, actually, yes, the bleeding velocity is linked to the location where the deficit starts the recovery. It shows if this is not A here. That's the location where we have the peaking velocity. That's the location. That's an alternative definition of the location based on the bleeding velocity. In fact, if we have a look at what happens in the back of the patch, we realize that the free flow at the side of the patch meets with the flow bleeding through the patch. This is origin to a missing layer that can be identified by the two-tier layer going from the patch. And one coincides with exactly into the condition, the location where the two-tier layer is. Can we apply the same definition in the 3D case? Can we then say that the only contribution to the recovery, the only mechanism that contributes to the recovery is the bleeding velocity? Let's try to do the same in our case. How can we do that? We can identify the gap, the edge of the shear layer going from the flank of the body at increasing solidity. And what we realize is that this edge is no longer here. This means that we cannot provide an alternative definition for L1 based on the linear growth of the shear layer. We need another alternative definition to compare the location where the shear layer grows from the flattened root with the location at which the recovery starts. What can we do? We simply detect the location at which the shear layer reaches the center. Why? Because on the other side there would be another shear layer growing, and that you know growing symmetrically as in the center plane. If we do this exercise, we realize that the location where the velocity, the deficit peak, is not the same where we are changing of our shear layer. What happens? The recovery starts always the same. Why? What happens? What's the mechanism that speeds up the recovery in our two-dimensional interaction and leads to the bending of the shear layer going from the flank of the body? First of all, if we consider the behavior of the mean velocity on the vertical plane, we realize that there is a reciprocation of both. Is that the reason why we have bending in our shear layer? Is that the mechanism that speeds up the recovery? I'm not sure about that. In fact, we have and it circulates some bad blood in the back of the body, also in the kidney stadium. And in that case, the CR layer, the point where the lateral CR layer is exactly the same as in the recovery starts. So that's not enough. I'm not saying this is not contributing, I'm just saying this is not enough to explain what happens in our case. Let's have a look again to what happens in the vertical plane. We have that at the top of the pad, in the back of the pad, the system meets with, again, the bleeding velocity. This could eventually give origin to a discontinuity in the velocity field. This discontinuity is again linked to a CR layer developing from the top of the patch. This concept is not new. It's well known that when you have a canopy bed meeting, increased by, for example, a tubular boundary layer, the interaction and the flow within the canopy is dominated by the jump of the velocity at the interface and then by the nesting layer developing. So let's have a look if we have a nesting layer or a CR layer developing at the top of our side. We do so looking at the Reynolds system in our domain. We realize that in fact we have a CR layer developing from the top of our side that kind of dominates what happens in the one normal thing. Is this mechanism a mechanism that can speed up the recovery of our weight? Let's see what happens at the interface. Let's see what happens at our deficit at the interface of the nesting layer. We see that increasing at increasing signal direction. Across the nesting layer, the deficit accumulates. Then, yes, this is a mechanism that can operate together with the nesting layer developing from the plant to speed up the process. This is again, I just want to point out that this is again due to the fact that the body falls underneath the velocity bleeding through the pipe. And this is just to say that if you remember that U1 is actually the bleeding velocity, this just means that this accumulating density, because the bleeding velocity goes down, the intensity of the CR layer goes. Okay, so the presence of the CR layer is maybe helping the recovery. Is the presence of the CR layer able to justify the fact that the lateral CR layer is growing at the edge of the body element? Let's detect in the vertical plane again the edge of the CR layer growing toward the wall. If we do so, we realize again that we have a bent CR layer. Again, the CR layer is not there. We can imagine that the initial bending, that the bending that we see on the horizontal plane and the bending that we detect on the vertical plane, is maybe due to the mutual interaction between this CR layer and also the reticulation bubble in the wall. I want to just recap this part about the topology of the weight, saying that we realize that porosity smaller than 1 means that the weight of the solid body is really longer compared to the weight of the solid body. That this is possible to explain this effect based on the bleeding effect. That the other feature of the weight of the solid body is the delay in the recovery onset, and this is captured by LOM. And that we have a mutual bending of the CR layer developing from the sides and from the top of the body. Now, what we need to do is to have a look to the we need the velocity, the back of the pack, we call it. To do so, we just focus on the 3D on the horizontal plane. How can we do that? We simply extract for every given solidity the deficit at several downstream locations. At a first glance, we have the impression that the evolution of the velocity deficit is somehow preserving its shape at increasing continuous location. Okay, can we describe this trend as we can do for plane weight? What can we do for plane weight? For plane weight, we assess self-similarity, define two typical scales. One is the maximum velocity deficit, that's the velocity scale. The second one is the weight of weight, the rotation of the downwards direction, where the maximum deficit falls to a past its maximum. If we reorganize our data, our deficit, and we scale that with this length, we realize that we have self-similarity. There is a very good collapse of our deficit where we scale it, we do it for a plane weight. We can do more because the fact that we have self-similarity means that the evolution of this deficit can be described by the maximum deficit in the back of the body times a function that takes into account the shape of the defect. Which kind of function can we use? Why not the function that defines the deficit of the plane weight? That's the form of the function that we are looking for. We put this function to our data in a single synchronous location. And we realize that there is a unity agreement between this function and this other function in this field. It's in one direction. What we are seeing here is that we can define the recovery of the velocity of the deficit in the back of the following body as we describe the recovery of the plane weight. We are not in the condition where we find self-similarity in a plane weight. First of all, the vertical velocity is not zero. And second and more important, the deficit in the back of the weight is not small. It's not the 10% of the increasing velocity. It's way larger. So that's quite surprising. We can also quantify how this trend is similar to the trend of the plane weight. We do that evaluating this alpha with a system procedure in several locations downstream. If we do so, we realize that our alpha is really close to the one that describes the trend of the plane weight. There is a variation of the type of sample that maybe not. In any case, this is our alpha, and that's the quality of the fit. We can do more. We can go further and say, okay, there is a law that describes how the typical length scale and the maximum deficit evolve in a streamlined direction. Yes. Based on self-similarity and on the conservation theorem, we need to propose that the evolution of the weight of wheat and the evolution of the velocity deficit is proportional to the square root of the draw coefficient, and in each in one direction we have this draw coefficient, actually the measurement of the draw coefficient carried out on the same model in the wind tunnel. If we recombine our data in this form, we realize that the trend of our data is linear. So there is proportionality between the typical scale that describes the self-similar system in which the deficit decays and the drag coefficient. But this is true just in the region where the weight is actually decaying. This means in the region where this difference is larger than L1. Why L1 is so powerful? Let's recall the effect of L1. If we extract the maximum velocity deficit at the center line of the path, we realize we know that L1 is defined as the maximum deviation of the peak. If we repeat this operation at increasing density, we realize that there is a peak. We remember that we know in the location where the recovery stopped. If we shift of L1, the velocity deficit, we realize that we have in the way where the recovery occurs, like for life, a collapse system. So that's the reason why this L1 is so powerful. That's the summary. Again, we know that the solidity play a really important role in the impacting the shape of the wave, and the main mechanism is the training that we're using. We are able to describe the recovery that occurs at the back of the path by self-similarity. We can also relate the question in which the typical length scale for self-similarity evolves in the back of the path to the level of drag experienced by the body. The effect of the three-dimensionality is mainly linked to the fact that we have a shear layer growing from the top of the body. That's basically the end of the seminar. The last slide I wanted to show you is something that can maybe let us keep on of what happens when we make the path flexible. And then we have an instantaneous interaction between the incoming boundary layer and the path. I hope that you will come to the okay, there is a good. In any case, the flow is coming from top to bottom. What we must see is that there is an instantaneous interaction between the body and the incoming flow, and this interaction translates in probably the release of a one containment strip at the back of every single cylinder. We can have maybe a look to the dispersion of the dye in front of the body. And what we realize immediately is that in this region, there must be a recirculation bubble. The rhodamine marks goes around this structure. This effect, this body for the counterpart of this one, we don't see any kind of case of positive. That's the main reason I like.